Welcome, everybody. This is BNB Weekly, episode 98. So we're through to that episode short from 100. It is 28th of September, 2020. And in the BNB Weekly, we talk about what's happening within the Microsoft 365 level, concentrating on Microsoft Teams, SharePoint, OneDrive, Microsoft Lists, just so many other things.
Stream, Yammer, PowerPoint, Office
yeah,
Word.
Exactly. So many things. My name is Esa Juvonen. I work in Microsoft as Program Manager. With me as a co-host is Valde. Valde, quick intros.
Hi, everybody. My name is Valde Mastikas. I am Head of Product at Rancor. And today we have a guest from, I don't know, sunny or not sunny Finland. Vesa Novonen.
Yes, sunny. It's sunny outside. Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Vesku Nopanen. I'm a principal consultant working for Sulava, concentrating on modern work. And of course, hopefully some of you know me already because I'm an MVP for Office Apps and Services, basically focusing on Microsoft Teams. So hopefully we are talking about lots of Teams today.
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's my passion.
Now, that's actually interesting, but why is that your passion? What's the magical thing about Teams? Let's put you on the spot.
You are putting me on spotlight.
Yes.
You activated already. My passion for perhaps one thing is that I've been working more or less from home for past 20 years. Not all the time, but all the time increasing amount. So I've been accustomed to work from anywhere. And when Microsoft Teams came out, it basically exploded that scene to be able to do that truly, at least in a very way better than before. Yes, we had Skype for Business, we had OneDrive, we had SharePoint, we had OneDrive Sync. Yeah, everything like that. But in a sense, Teams brought this together and you had a better chance than before to do that. So basically, it's allowing for us and everybody to do better work anywhere, and you can have that work-life thing going on. So that's why it's my passion, because it's opens up a lot of possibilities. And as we have seen this year, we know it kind of, but then other people also realized its possibilities and potential in this working from home. Yeah.
And I like how you put it also in the way that it's actually leveling up the people regardless where they actually work. So because that's certainly one way of thinking this, especially now that everybody's working from home. Everybody's working from home, and then the Microsoft Teams is enabling us to work efficiently across the world, regardless where you are. Obviously, my big push on having a one universal time zone would help tremendously. But that hasn't really worked out that well yet. So.
We just have to make sure that it focuses on Finland time and everything is related.
Well, but I mean, like, we have UTC, right? So if as long as we communicate UTC, then that's enough. I mean, that is one-time code, if you like. It's not zone, but it's code.
Yeah, universal time code. Yeah, that's true.
Now that you said that, actually the time zones have become more and more relevant this year, when we have lots of online events. That was something I used to rant already. It's because if you don't put the time zone there, people are really confused. So please just put the time zone in there.
But I think like the one thing that intrigues me, right? Like over the past months, we've seen the big switch from working in the office to working whatever you want. And like at this stage, it's mostly at home, but it's no longer a choice, right? So we need to basically adapt to this reality that we currently have and try to find a balanced way to work. What intrigues me though is that I think that we are still like one step behind the ideal case where we switch more towards working asynchronously, as opposed to like we need to have a meeting now. Like why cannot we do the same? Let's say in long form, you will write proposal or make a PowerPoint deck, have everybody look at it and give back when they have the time for that, as opposed to now, no matter where you are, you need to drop everything, carve out 10 minutes, half an hour to jump on a call together, whether it's 7 p.m. your time and you're about to put kids to bed, or it's 10 a.m. in the morning and there is sun and you would rather go to the park. No, right now, let's have a call and meet. Like, I think that there's still like a lot for us to win in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then at the same time, you cannot decline that having a one-to-one discussion, even with video, is better than having a disconnected comments
absolutely.
And ranting in comments on what do we mean with this, and then because that can take a tremendous amount of time as well.
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
Yes, I think that there is two sides to it. I think that like historically we rarely had the need to be like really or have the craft our skills or to hone our skills to express ourselves clearly in written form, because like we would meet, people would go to the room, like you would have eight people, an hour long meeting, and you would like, but what do you mean? What do you mean with that? And then you can read people, see people, and so forth and so on. And we kind of like grew into this, call it inefficient way, you know, and then basically how things evolve, right? Sure, I fully agree that there is like for some things, there like this. Like we cannot do this asynchronously. Yeah? Like you cannot record your video and we record ours, and Vesa does his video, and then we try to get along. So like for some things, like there is no replacement for the, let's say, human contact, even if it's just via a camera. Yeah. But I think for work cases, I think there is still a lot for us to win.
Absolutely.
Regarding more to work more asynchronously and then working more across the world. As opposed to like we work remotely, but we're kind of in the same place anyway still.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, because for past 3 years, I've been trying to push people to work asynchronously more, because of course, we can't do this in that way. But what we could do is that we have this recording, we see each other, then after work or the post-processing, we could do asynchronously. And that we are usually at work working more with documents, with ideas and stuff that doesn't require that. And when you are when you don't have enough material, you could then spend that half an hour or 1 hour together to proceed it even more. That's the kind of the idea. You do the pre-meeting and post-meeting stuff asynchronously. And when you have the meeting, you can concentrate better on the basically, okay, what are the actions or kind of a decisions there? That is what Teams is opening up even better than before in the near future.
Yeah,
I think the technology is evolving so fast that we can much more efficiently get access on the documents as well, and using the Microsoft Graph and everything, you know exactly your latest documents. I was just when I open up the clipboard in PowerPoint, it is a PowerPoint by the way, you can actually see all of the PowerPoints which I had opened up in Friday in my desktop computer. So it is actually quite cool how the system is now truly connected, and you can actually access everything. So really cool. And you can use any device to contribute and any device to modify. And that's actually pretty mind-blowing as well.
So, and I guess there is also like over the past few months, we've seen already even improvements going better. Was exactly that. Like, because you worked on this, like these are your last files you worked on. But who's to say that I still need to work on them? Or why should I see these five as opposed to these other three, right? And I think like over the last few, I think even months already, like we've seen, for example, in Outlook on the web, there's these things like pre-reading, recommended pre-reading for a meeting, which is like brilliant, like because all these insights are already in the server, like or in M365, right? Substrate is the word, right? So they're already there. M35 knows everything already about whom you work with, who is in your team, with whom you are about to meet, with when, about what, because all of that, these insights are there. And then the only thing left is like help you prepare more efficiently up front to basically cut the noise of a meeting to minimum, cut the overhead, and then just do the meeting, decide on a few things, and move on and let everybody work.
Hopefully that's why the meeting exists, so you actually make some decisions. So rather than
it is a means to an end, not a purpose. It is a means to an end, not a purpose, right?
You have looked into your calendar and showed that every meeting has a really good purpose, and they're always about decisions.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
All of them.
All of them. All of those recurrent once a week, 30 minutes and 1 minute, whatever, 1 hour meetings. And okay, anyway. So we need to meet people as well. So and having that human interaction is super important as well. But they're trying to find the balance rather than being 8 hours in the meetings and then no time to
work. The day passed and you haven't done anything, right?
Exactly. But now, Vesa, let's get back to you. So you work in Sulava as a architect. Is that the title?
as a principal consultant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that actually mean in practice? What does a principal consultant does in Northern Europe?
At least for me, I guess there are different definitions in every company or even every person. But for me, it's basically being able to visionize and help organizations to see what they could do with teams, how they should take steps forward, how they can take more value out of that. So guiding them on the high level and then hopefully jumping in to do some sometimes cool demos, sometimes just cool presentations about, okay, how you can take this world or these options you have into everyday use better in the company. So that's basically more or less my lead, trying to be in advance, ahead, and convey those thoughts there so they can gain an edge there.
So kind of a trusted advisor of the company, helping them to be more successful with their investments. So what do you see? What's the number one, or let's say top three, top five, and we're putting you on spot again, the problems on the
adaption. Top of your head.
Yeah, the team, it's always funny when people say, okay, what was the best announcement from Ignite in Teams?
Yeah.
I can't pick one because it's advancing in so many levels. There are so many areas. One big thing is, of course, how to utilize Teams as a platform, because then you are connecting Teams to your business. You're connecting that to the processes and taking advantage that it is a huge thing. And I'd say any advancement there, it's a big. And of course, meetings. We are now doing meetings more than before, and every those kind of improvements that are coming there and being available to use them, also combining them with the Teams as a platform as well. Yeah, I'm connecting some dots here. It's kind of a that's very important place, and that's a thing that's going to drive us forward. Making these meetings what we have, hopefully only the meaningful ones, are going to be even better and easier, and we won't have that much meeting fatigue, for example. Those 8 hours of meeting, yeah, nobody wants to do that, of course. And the rest is about collaboration, and as you said, the graph and API and AI bringing information to the people, how you can utilize it better, so you don't have to feel like, okay, I'm being overflown with information, but I don't know how to get the overall picture there. So everything that is helping there, it's going to also to help more work more efficiently, for example. And I'm sure I forgot a few things there. There's huge number of announcements and what's significant and what's not. But the thing is that I think those top three for me at the moment.
What about Teams? Yeah. So what about if we think about, obviously it's all about Teams. Nothing, what else would it be? Now, if you think about the day-to-day work you've been doing in the past as well, and then coming back on the Teams as a platform, we've seen, obviously, as an internal person, I know the adaption curves and everything else, but what is your take on how can we make customers to adapt the platform more efficiently? What's missing? Is it a capabilities? Is it education? Is it something else? What are we should be doing as a Microsoft?
What an open question.
Where do I start, right?
Yes, where do I start? And let's
And obviously it's not a right or wrong question. It's more about what you've seen on the field.
I think it's about balancing return of investment and the possibilities, because when you have all the new capabilities from the platform, it's very hard for organizations to see how they are going to impact the business. And closing that gap there, having those, is it just demos, examples, or kind of a case story, something like that, when you can start realizing, okay, this is how it would impact our business. Because everything Microsoft provides usually is generic. And it doesn't necessarily hit that same kind of companies a need or something like that. It doesn't resonate that well,
right?
Unless you are in a very in the same specific kind of a situation as the example. So that's one of the difficulties, to find out and figure out how you can go there with smaller steps and seeing the value out of that. seeing the benefits for both organization and, of course, for the people. So it's about adoption a lot.
And so, benefits. So for that, to what extent do you see that as the Microsoft job to do that, or the partners who know the companies, the market, the verticals, who basically walk there every day, and you know the customers, you know problems on the head, right? So to what extent do you expect, or would you expect Microsoft to give you these stories, use cases, the benefits, versus you being a partner doing that by yourself based on the, let's say, broader data?
Of course, Microsoft cannot scale there. So that's why there are partners. And we are the ones telling or letting customers know how they can benefit from this. But when we are then looking on the case studies, or you have some kind of a, here are some experiences what other companies have. That usually, at least in the beginning, comes from Microsoft until there are more and more examples how organizations have been. So, but usually, yeah, it's a partner's job, and that's what we do. We kind of take all the Ignite announcements and then reformulate them in a way that distill that and this is what it actually means, and this is what you can do with that. And because otherwise, it would be it wouldn't be a trusted advisor if you're just flooding with them with everything people are saying at the Ignite announcements.
Yeah. And that's the opportunity then for partners to also make money, obviously. That's the consulting business and then the
value
specialization,
add in a way, right?
The value add in the partner ecosystem. Because obviously it's like you said, Microsoft doesn't scale and it's not in our interest to scale because partner ecosystem is super important for Microsoft. So having that worldwide reach locally with the partners who know how the local business actually works, super, super important. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There was another thing that I wanted to ask, going back to what you said about your job. Like over the past 6 months, like we've seen this pandemic hit us and companies had to change and adapt, right? What are the, again, top three? You can name five or one things that you would say companies struggle with the most. Like what are the most difficult parts for them to embrace this new way of work?
If looking purely from teams wise, it's of course they adopted first the meetings because that was important. How do we substitute live meetings with virtual ones and helping out there? Of course, before that happens, in some companies you had more or less issues. You had to think about, okay, how's our security? How's our infrastructure? How people can get connected to teams or into meetings? Especially if you couldn't connect through, for example, through going to the public internet.
Right.
So that kind of issues, there were several ones, of course, that were prominent. If everything was routed through the company network, for example, that would have created a bottleneck. And that happened because people weren't expecting that. So it was a collection of the infrastructure and of course, the how people are accustomed to work, what they are expecting. Because lots of people were first time working from home and they were in a situation that they didn't have to address before. So they weren't ready. How do you work on these documents? If you were still working like solo, like you did before, you have your own documents somewhere, you've only published them when we're ready. So everything I've been talking against what I've been talking in. Teams for a long time now. So it's kind of bringing the teamwork there. Of course it was challenging, but I take the human factor in as well because people weren't ready. They weren't thinking about that much.
Yeah.
So suddenly they had to work from home and they didn't have the social contacts or network like that. And a work environment from home wasn't necessarily the ideal one.
Yeah.
So of course the well-being, and as you mentioned, you had maybe had lots of meetings back to back, little time or break, and kind of mixing up that work-life balance totally in some cases. So it was as much as human side as the tech side there. How do we proceed? How we do the adoption really quick? And I think during the Ignite, it was I don't remember who said it, but it was great saying like one year worth of digital transformation happening every month.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it kind of drove things forward very well.
Yeah, the numbers were insane in spring. Yeah. They were just out of this world, forced by this pandemic situation. But and to be honest, I think one of the situation is bad, but luckily, so to say, this happened in 2020 rather than 2010, when most of the companies would not have an Azure AD or cloud identity or cloud transitioning, and they would never have this infrastructure to actually start working remotely. In 2020, we had readiness.
Yeah, 2015 would have been bad as well.
Yeah, yes.
Because lots of companies have changed to the cloud in past 5 years.
Yeah.
So the 10 years saying, it would have been bad for most. I did work from home 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but that was something that was possible when you are kind of thinking ahead, when you are driving, when you are kind of one of those enthusiastic people who can make things happen and you have a motivation to do it. But when you hit the masses, that's something you would have to have a certain kind of a, let's say, not schema, but something like, okay, this is how we do things. You have a playbook and instructions and guides. Yeah. And missing those, it would have been really bad for economy.
So, and sure, this situation was bad already, and we are still in the middle of the situation, but I think at least the technology and the infrastructure does exist for us to do this, which is great.
Yeah. So.
Good. Should we do some articles for a while and talk about the articles and Ignite announcements?
Totally.
And then we'll come back on the discussion. So let's
do it. Screen.
Let's start with the Microsoft Teams. Obviously, it is Ignite Week recap. So there's a lot of Ignite announcements last week. For those who haven't set up today, there's actually a good set of articles in multiple different blog areas. It's kind of the pity that all of this is Microsoft Teams blog, SharePoint blog, Shirts blog. So it's really hard to actually find all of them. But hey, at least it's out there. So meetings.
It is a lot, right? So if you would do it in a single place, and I mean, there is one place that does all of these announcements, right?
That's
Book of News.
No, <that's...
laughs> Book of News did not have every announcement in there. But...
Well, the broad lines, you know, the big announcements, exactly.
Anyway, just quickly scanning through on the latest announcements on Microsoft Teams, the Together Mode. It's actually really good that we're getting additional views in here, so that's pretty cool, as expected. And then custom layout, so you can actually overlay screen sharing. That's actually pretty cool as well. In a normal meeting, not just in the live events and using OBS, you can just do this in Microsoft Teams. And that's actually pretty cool. Breakout rooms, I think more efficient for learning and EDU. Probably that's where it's mostly used. But every now and then, we've been having meetings where you need to have breakout rooms in Microsoft as well. Meeting recap, so summaries on what was actually happening. This comes down on the intelligence and collecting the information to one location, which is really good. And transcripting, by the way, super, super, super powerful as well, now that it's actually there. Because after the meeting has done, you can then download the transcript and do a search, and then you can find what's relevant rather than the whole video.
And it comes with the speaker attribution. So you can see who's speaking there and not just a plain transcription. Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun with us Finnish people.
The Finnish language isn't that easy for computers to understand.
Or even our accent.
True. Yeah. Webinar registration reporting, super important as well. So really, really cool stuff. Meeting room experiences, this is really cool. So a lot of improvements there as well. Obviously, not intended for anybody to buy this at home, but to
Of course. Like my office is busy. I have appointments.
Well, you can if you want. Absolutely. New calling experiences, collaborative calling, so multiple people, chat and collaboration, new stuff there as well. Teams templates. I think we talked about Teams templates for quite a long time already, but there's updates in this one as well. And the info pane pin posts. Actually really, really important thing, and the new conversation button in channel, so that rather than reply on the wrong
new conversation, very good.
And then, by the way, the pinning is one of the really good examples of an important ways, because at least we have, for example, the MVP Teams channels, and the first post in the Teams channel a year ago was welcome and explaining what this is all about. And now it's like 500 messages after that. So how could you find that welcome message with pinning? You could just put it
scrolling.
In there.
Keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling.
New search results experiences. Yeah. You search, yes.
Well, I mean, if you even don't know that it is there, how would you find it, right?
That's true. Yeah. That is true as well. That is true.
Okay, but the search is better. Yeah,
yeah,
it's going to be
and
better.
The new search is yeah, so proper Microsoft search. The old Teams search had some challenges. That's probably the right way of saying that. better integrations, so well-being and insights, the user insight. This is really cool as well.
Both of them are really cool. Sorry to cut you in, but the well-being part, when those announcements came out, that was bigger than I thought, personally, because it's a very important topic, and that came. I realized after that, this well-being stuff. It when I've been working from home for a long time, I don't pay too much attention for that because it's my flow is what it is already. But for people in that situation, lots of people we are going to get help through that. So it's really important to bring in that human aspect here.
Yep.
Another thing that I love about this announcement is the fact that it seems like if you look at across the market, I haven't heard about any other company to think about it that way. Not just like this is a cool app that allows you to meet, allows you to see so many folks on a screen, and you can just but there's also this human aspect to it that it seems like nobody else didn't ever take the time to pay attention to. Whereas this is now like really obvious. No, like all of this is important. Tech features are important. It's important that we can see each other, find files. But there's also this fact that if we all are collectively unwell, none of these features matter because we won't be able to do any our work, right? So first things first. And I really love this thinking about like this tech in this way, in way like putting people first.
Yeah, absolutely. And putting that to Teams where people work.
Exactly.
It used to be in Outlook, but who works there?
Yes. Yeah.
Some people still use it.
Well, I do get an insights email every single Monday to the Outlook.
Me too.
But again. Yeah. And then the next one was really cool as well. So we have a special, there's an additional blog post coming on that one as well. But SharePoint Home Sites in Teams. In the past, you've been already able to embed any SharePoint page on a Teams. But now with the proper navigation, deep linking, all of that stuff, you can actually operate on the site. And it's truly integrated in the Teams. So it's not about choosing between a classic communication or corporate intranet and the Teams. Rather, let's combine and surface the application and communications in here. So, which is really cool. First line workers, walkie-talkie, Android, healthcare, Teams, HR connector. Interesting. So,
epic.
A lot of stuff.
Epic.
A lot of stuff app card.
Yeah.
Security and compliance, obviously, a big thing in the background as well. Not always the super sexy thing, but making sure that everything is working properly. And then a lot of announcements also on the platform extensibility. This is a big, big, big investment area for the meetings extensibility.
Really cool.
For the meetings, during the meeting, and after the meeting, have extensibility options available. So really cool.
Yeah, it's going to change meetings. I really like that. Of course, for ordinary users, they are going to love that the way that Polly is going to be one of the first apps there. So you can create polls in Teams meetings.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with V, you can just raise hands.
Together mode.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why together mode is also awesome.
Yeah, but, that's true. That is true. And then additional things, a lot of announcements on the platform side, enhanced also integrations in the Power Platform side, Power BI, Power Automate, and then the Power Apps is now directly included in Microsoft Teams as well. So again, like Vesa was saying, you don't have to move away from Teams. You are in the Teams, but the relevant data and applications are surfaced for you in that UX. So it's kind of a shell where you are, including videos, communication, chats, collaboration, and then even surface the relevant applications inside of it. So.
And then you have the backend systems as well. Yes. Apps. So that's a big thing. Like you, everything you need for your information work is going to be there.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. One really cool thing, resource constraint, specific consent for developers and IT admins. So you can actually have consents related on individual teams or channels. And that's actually a really, really cool thing as well. So, and that's going to change a lot about development capabilities, even though if you're not a developer, I don't care because it's hard to understand what it is.
Well, I guess the interesting thing for this will be the governance, right? At scale, will you be able to keep an overview over 2,000 channels and teams you have?
Who has access on where?
Exactly. And which apps are installed to what and which apps have access to what?
Yeah.
You know, the matrix of that will get really big. I mean, at the end of the day, it will be like a really big Excel sheet.
Yeah.
Or Microsoft lists.
Well, that would be a really big list.
So this is just a additional article related on creating customers' meeting experiences with apps in Microsoft Teams. So really focusing on the before, during, after meeting and what are the experiences and how you can actually implement them. That's a deep dive on this one, but really cool options and capabilities which you can take advantage. And that's, by the way, also showing the options of overlaying the and combining the canvas. So whatever you're broadcasting by yourself, which is really, really cool. So, and there's already a lot of partners who are building stuff for the meetings.
Pretty cool.
What was a very great thing about that integrating apps to meetings is that basically the organizer can send questions to attendees. So they get a pop-up in the middle of the screen as it was shown in your layouts in the middle, basically. And then they have to answer that, for example. And so you can get people more active and not just asking questions in a chat where they are. Especially if you have a chat like with MVP Experiences channel meeting, then every question you throw in there is basically lost.
I think this will be really cool when Fluid will become available. Because then, real time, when you are meeting, you will be able to co-create a thing, whether that's a chart, a view, an object, or whatever it is, and it's not a document. So you are not typing on two screens like you have a meeting here, file here. It's already embedded in your meeting, and you can work on this object that might end up eventually embedded inside a file. But you will be able to get that one specific part and work on it together live based on Fluid inside a meeting context, which is like, I think that that's going to be really big.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely, and like discussed so many times that this is evolving the mid-class meeting culture, which is really, really cool. So bringing something new and bringing that, hey, I want to be engaged within this meeting because there's stuff happening, because we need to have that some sort of a interesting stuff happening to keep on being interested on the meetings as well. Now, on the OneDrive SharePoint side, there's a lot of announcements as well. We talked about already the Microsoft Teams integration. And really big point here is also the left navigation. So it's not just about embedding portals, but also getting access on all of the news and sites and all of this stuff. So quick access and all of that. And administrators can control that experience. And this one's also the same thing almost, but in outside of the Teams as well. So you will have a global navigation, where at some point, not from a day one, you can actually then have additional extensibility and additional partner applications and all of that, which would be then
it looks like a Teams left rail.
Of course. Because if you're not in Teams, then the left rail does make sense that there's a left rail. But if you're in Teams, let's hide the left rail because you have Teams left rail.
I mean, the left rail is just easy access to whatever contextual info you need to have. So whether it's apps or insights within the context where you are, right? So it just makes sense to have a consistent UX of rail across all of the Office apps as opposed to sometimes it's there, sometimes it's different. So,
this one's really cool. A lot of feedback during our MVP presentation as well. Boosting visibility of important news articles. We in Microsoft actually use SharePoint News as the primary update channel. So we don't send emails for people. We actually do news articles, and then we surface them. Enhanced news feed, automatically generated news digests, so summaries on those, because some people want to have emails, so that's fine.
Well, I mean, no, it's just easier way to catch up on that. I mean, I can,
absolutely.
I don't know
if
you can have
summary. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, given that it's internet, you probably don't have RSS feed, or you cannot authenticate really easily on that, unless you read your RSS in Outlook, which I think no one does.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just makes sense to have like a digest as opposed to having to go to the site. Hey, there's something new in there, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, this one is also really cool. Based on learnings, what we had with the lookbook site, we're now starting to introduce actual templates also inside of SharePoint. And these are new templates, new model. Technically, they will be based on the site scripts and site designs, but they actually are super efficient. You can just apply them on top of existing communication sites as well, like with the lookbook. So learning from that remote provisioning model and then adapting that as part of the product, which is super cool.
Nice.
SharePoint Space is going to go GA pretty soon, so that's cool as well. For the well, it is actually one way, cool way of actually sharing information and building content in the intranet. Maybe it hasn't been that big of a success when they first announced that. Have you tested it? Just out of curiosity.
I haven't.
I intended to, but Teams. I had plans, and I still have plans because I see it opens up very great possibilities for especially learning and showcase portals.
Yep. Yep.
And it's very visual, and so utilizing that is still on the way, but I would love to use that with the headset.
Yeah.
So that's one of the primary things why I haven't been trying to start playing around with that.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for the Teams integration, of course. So once more, you can actually take your SharePoint Spaces page and add this.
You can embed that in SharePoint. Yeah. In Teams. Absolutely.
So I guess the interesting thing will be, again, if this is embedded in context of a meeting, how will that improve the meeting, especially when you work with 3D objects, like, and everybody can interactively look at them from different sides, how will that, like, will the use case for that be clearer than just putting something on a page and everybody can look at that in their own time? But I mean, if you work with 3D, well, you already do it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right? So
maybe it could be fluid 3D, 3D. So fluid framework 3D, why not? You can, absolutely.
Live editing in 3D, yeah.
Yeah, we did that in Dev Kitchen. So...
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. And of course, waiting to see that together mode, having that Spaces version would be nice as well.
Yes, that's true as well.
Actually. Together mode in 3D.
Yeah.
So basically meeting in person.
Yeah.
Inside. That would be, that's something I envision, I don't know, or hope for, maybe a better word, years ago, that during this 2021, there would be more virtual meetings. But
there's just one but. Just we need something else, because otherwise, like, you will see a screen full of people, all of them wearing goggles. So you won't see anything.
Avatars. Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point. Yammer is getting a lot of love as well. So you can use the Yammer directly, or you can surface the Yammer, or you can surface the Yammer in Teams or in SharePoint. So that's really cool. A lot of other improvements in the measures and statistics as well. Now, we need to speed up slightly. There was a good blog post from Tejas. Tejas is a PM who's owning the home app site for Microsoft Teams. So basically just good Q&A quickly on those questions which they got last week. The common questions related on, okay, so what does it actually mean, and how does it actually work, and all of that. So what about navigation? Is it available? And answers, as an example, yes, it will be available. Announcing SharePoint Synthesis was also a big one from last week, Tuesday. So SharePoint Synthesis is part of the Project Cortex. So basically, it's one part of the Project Cortex, which is then having the document detection and automation and artificial intelligence on top of that. So SharePoint, this one is a really nice 2-minute video, if I remember correctly, explaining what it is, 2 minutes, 21 seconds. Yeah. And Jeff and then Naomi are basically just explaining what it is and how does it actually work. So really cool stuff. What's new in the Microsoft Search Ignite 2020 edition from Bill? So a lot of stuff here as well. So search, people-centric search, finally coming to the Microsoft Search as well. Find skills and expertise, so improvements on the persona cards, which is really cool. Power BI search, getting those included in here as a vertical if needed. Conversational search, so Teams data integrated in the search in here as well. And it doesn't really matter, are you in the Teams or are you in the Microsoft Search, you will get the same results, obviously, because like it should be. Image search, super important as well. Finding that relevant data, improved filters, and all of that stuff as well. Topic search, so basically, what was this called in the past?
Refiners, highlighted
results. Yeah, anyway.
Hazarded search?
Anyway. Personal query history, that's really cool as well. So you can actually see your old queries and also a lot of additional investments here because obviously finding the relevant data is super, super important. But now that the graph and the connections are there, we can make this experience much, much better. So
yeah.
Across the whole Microsoft 365. Now, this one is really cool on the Microsoft Graph side. So there's a additional, let's say, dimension of the Microsoft Graph now coming in. So Microsoft Graph connectors to a different data, connecting to any source, ServiceNow, Media, Box, or wherever you want. But then you can access the information through the Microsoft Graph. That's pretty cool. Azure Communication Services, it's kind of funny that it's ACS because ACS has a different meaning in the past in the context of Azure. And it's confusing that we're using the same abbreviations quite often for multiple different things, but it's basically additional connectivity. And a lot of the stuff is actually, even though it's Microsoft Graph, which is part of Microsoft 365, it will be actually offered through the Azure portal. So you have a much more clearer cost structure for the implementation as well, which is really cool. Universal print, apparently that's still a thing. So.
So I can print stuff on your printer.
Really?
That is what it is.
Okay.
Is it that called actually save to PDF?
No. It's printing on physical paper.
Print to PDF.
Yeah. I think there are many legal things where we still need to do some printing every now and then. This blog post also lists all of the new tools and APIs, which is really cool, the Microsoft Teams APIs, to do search, taxonomy, identity, and all of this stuff. So really cool stuff. And Graph Toolkit 2.0 is out as well. So and PowerShell SDK came GA for Microsoft Graph, PowerShell SDK. So a lot of cool stuff available in here. And then let's not actually deep dive in here, but a lot of stuff happens also outside of just the UX and the end user capabilities, like search and compliance controls. And this stuff is super important for companies, not necessarily for end users, but a lot of improvements here across the whole Microsoft 365 platform. So cool stuff like labeling and actually, what is it? That's the
AIP.
AIP. Yeah,
or it's MIP now. It's Microsoft Information Protection now.
MIP, yes. You are absolutely correct on that. But really having that control on the files which are getting created inside of the company. Now, this is something which Waldeck has written actually earlier today. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, sure. So as the article says, it's my last week in my current job. I am moving on.
Do we want to drive people to the article, or do you want to say there? Are you filming?
No, so actually, starting October 1, which is on Thursday this week, I will be joining Microsoft as a cloud developer advocate for M365.
Yay.
Thank you.
So what does that change on your open source and community work?
Nothing. Actually, I hope that it will actually increase that because whereas in the past, like, and that also what I explained in the article, like in the past, like I've been doing it, it feels to me like I've been doing a lot of this work already as side gig, as like a hobby. So I've been blogging now for, I don't know, 12 years or more. I've been MVP for 4.5 years. And in all these channels or engagements, like I've been building tools, sharing blog posts, going to conferences, feedback to Microsoft about products and tech. And all of that is dev relationships, which is basically this job, right? So what I've been doing as side thing, now that will become my job. So meaning that I will be doing more of that. I will be more present on GitHub, in social. I will be reaching out to people, trying to learn what they struggle with, where we as Microsoft can improve. What like, is it docs? Is it products? Is it tooling? Right. So basically doing more of this work. And that means, especially now in current times, going out on social and being where devs are, being GitHub, Stack Overflow, and social.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
This quite a long time, quite a few
times.
Yeah,
it's been a while, huh?
Yeah. Cool. And let's go in here. So this one, Vesa, is from you. And we also wanted to call out your HTTPS, myteamsday.com is basically your blog. What are the things that you're blogging in your blog?
Of course, it's mainly Microsoft Teams focused, but it is not just about. It's usually working day related information. I used to have some posts about SharePoint as well, but it's been mostly through Teams user eyes or something like that. And I have several posts about Power Platform as well, especially around Power Automate and Power Virtual Agents.
Basically, everything in the Microsoft 365.
In a sense, yeah. But so I have kind of two sides there. One of them is an end user side, and the other is more like power user citizen dev side. I'm not a dev, so I'm not going to go into deep dive dev, but I have some Graph API stuff there as well, because I use those with Power Automate or with the PowerShell as well. So there's cool things you can do and extend the capabilities that are there.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
That's experimenting, trying things, proof of concept things, kind of stuff. And of course, you can see my live schedule there, so where I'm going to be speaking next time.
Yeah. And that's the next discussion point related on the Teams Fest. Can you do a quick intro and promo what is Teams Fest and why everybody should be joining this?
Teams Fest is a 100% free community event that is driven by community. So we have over 90 speakers from, most of them are from a community. We all know this, most of the people. Some of them are newcomers as well. So there's a good quality of content there. And there are also several Microsoft speakers, like someone from this call. So Vesa Juvonen is there as well speaking. And so we have lots of great speakers there, lots of great knowledge. It's kind of giving back to the community event. We have gained so much and learned so much from the other community parts. So we wanted to kind of bring the opportunity for people to learn about Microsoft Teams and see our passion in there as well. And kind of also give other people some kind of a place where they start their public speaking career if they want. And then on the other hand, have these old timers who have been doing this kind of shared day, their golden nuggets of knowledge as well. So it's kind of I think it's a great combination. And we started it being fully online before all this happened. We did our first Teams Fest on a year ago. It was first called kind of Oktoberfest, but we in last week we kind of changed it to Teams Fest.
And when you realize that the Oktoberfest is already used by a in a different
term,
we have used to, in a
yeah.
Well, probably there's trademark infringement and all of that.
So and it was a really long to write and we had to shorten it. That's kind of it came from our passion themes, of course, and through that. So there's huge number of content. There's 85 sessions in there. So it's almost 12 hours. We have 8 tracks. That's biggest Teams Fest so far. There was so much good submits for sessions, so we kind of extended it. And originally we did it in Gentoo, but yeah, there's great information and great speakers.
Yep.
There's
Caruana is here as well from Microsoft, and a lot of MVPs, a lot of people. Yeah, really cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why we are very excited about that, and it's really great.
Yeah, really cool.
And so it's next week, Wednesday, 7th of October. And of course, you should join because it's a free event. Joining doesn't cost you anything. You can watch some sessions here and there, 8 tracks, so you can pick the ones you are that interest you. And of course, we will record them and share the information later as well, so you won't be missing that. But
what am I supposed to talk here? Which Microsoft Teams extensibility option is the one for you? Okay, got it.
Yeah.
There is only one, to be honest. But
no. There's so many options. So.
Yeah. Depends if you are dev or not.
Exactly. Yeah. There's multiple perspectives, and there's no right or wrong, which is a super important thing to realize. Now, from a timing perspective, this is happening next week, so it's good to be aware of this one. Well, depending on when you're watching the video or the podcast, but Wednesday's of October.
Yeah, and go out there and register. You will get an ICS file to your calendar.
Yeah,
We are not collecting any other information. Your email is all that needed, so you can put it to your calendar.
Perfect.
We don't have any company sponsors here, so that's kind of very easy to join. We will have direct join links to meet these rooms, so you don't have to sign in anywhere. It's just Teams meeting all the time.
Yep.
Cool.
So it's going to be interactive as well.
Yep, absolutely. Now, this one is from Aura Rogers, create Power Apps in Teams, new easy database. So basically, how do you use the new Power Apps directly in the Teams and then start creating content with it? So really nice video and clarification on how things, well, actually, 8-minute video and then the clarification on how to get started on things. So really cool stuff. Laura had also a nice summary on Microsoft Ignite and Microsoft List announcements. We didn't have the List announcements in here, but I think they're in another blog post again, or another blog environment, unfortunately, again. There's a lot of good videos around the Microsoft Teams, what it is and why is that a suitable, Microsoft Lists, and how do you integrate that with Teams and all of that.
Everything is Teams, so.
Yeah, everything is.
Exactly. Absolutely. Now, this one is from Joanna Klein, custom help link external sharing in Microsoft 365. So basically talking through those options and how do you share and how to get those things forward and what are the, and showing in a video, how does this actually work in practice?
Yeah, it's going to be even more important in the near future when the stream recordings of these Teams meetings going directly to the SharePoint and OneDrive.
Which is actually an interesting discussion point as well. Let's come back on that one after the 4 articles, but that really shows the new of OneDrive and SharePoint. And this one is from Waldeck. I was wrong about Microsoft Teams, and you want to quickly explain?
Yeah, so like originally when Teams was released, I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago, like to me it was like, why do we need another IM app? And it's like, it took me quite some time to wrap around. I had about, Teams is actually more of that. And I think the announcements from Ignite make that really clear. Like the things like putting Headspace into that, allowing us to extend meetings, allowing you to, like we knew that we could introduce apps into Teams. But I think like you think more about like the whole experience around meeting, like pre, during, post, and expanding that context, making that relevant, make it truly things where you can effectively meet, as opposed to this to just being an app that you use to call each other or have IM in. So,
yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like my original assumptions were off.
Yeah.
And it's always a journey. Now that you are joining Microsoft, you just have to write this.
No, I don't think that's
I had to set the record straight, yes. Or on the other hand, like I can say it, admit it now before I actually join, right? Yeah.
And then this one is from
Veronique Langell.
Oh, it's okay, from Veronique. 10 top 10 things to look out for when you're using Microsoft Teams. So kind of a learnings related on the Microsoft Teams usage. And good top 10, top 5 blog posts are always good because then they're calling out tips and tricks on making things happen. So Now, and this one, it's a few promotions from last week as well. This one was just a great thing, what Jeff said in Jeff's keynote. SharePoint Framework is the easiest way for developers to build a powerful solution to reach hundreds of millions of users in the flow of their work, both SharePoint and in Microsoft Teams. And really, we have a massive, massive updated focus on enabling SharePoint Framework in the Microsoft Teams side. It's already supported there, but there's more and more investments on this area as well. And I think, Vesa, you had really good comment related on that one. What was it? Do you remember what you said when we talked about this?
No, of course not. Of course. In the end of that discussion, we kind of said, okay, I'm not a dev. So that's not for me. I'm doing that with Power Apps and Power
The comment was that easiest way to integrate to Microsoft Teams. But obviously, if you're not a dev, then Power Apps and Power Automate and all of that stuff, absolutely easier. But then if you are a dev, and the SharePoint framework has been insanely successful, and it's the usage is growing just out of this world still, and we want a lot of those implementations to be transitioned to the Microsoft Teams, and they work as such. So we actually want those applications to be surfaced also in Microsoft Teams. And then the last is that Rabia is also promoting this week. So if you're watching this directly on this week, when the PMP Weekly comes out, Rabia is having a Teams Day online session building Microsoft Teams tab using SPFX. It was just nice to see that Jeff again jumped in, showing that he is everywhere and he just follows up everything.
Which is really impressive and really great, because I think for everyone, it means really a lot. So it's really appreciated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jeff Deeper owns and controls everything under Microsoft Teams, SharePoint, OneDrive, Microsoft Lists, so all of that stuff, and he basically is the lead in development and on the messaging.
I don't still have that achievement. Jeff commented, no, not yet. Yes. Waiting for that. But I'm in a Teams Day online as well. Yeah, of course, it's on my to-do list.
Yeah. Cool. Let me actually stop that then. There was something which I said. Let's talk about that one in a second. Oh, that was the role of SharePoint and Microsoft Teams and OneDrive and everything else. So obviously, if we think about the announcements related on stream videos now being stored soon in a SharePoint and OneDrive, that gives an indication on the direction where we are heading. So Microsoft Teams being the primary UX, but then there's all of these additional goodies and applications which are surfaced inside of the Microsoft Teams as a first-party experiences. And then in the same way as there are first-party experiences, then people can implement custom experiences as well. But for the stream videos, I think it's a smart decision rather than trying to implement security, sharing, all of that stuff in whatever they have right now. They cannot take advantage of the storage in OneDrive, and then they get the Microsoft IP, the information protection, they get all of the sharing and everything else as part of that.
So. Which is also, I think, an interesting point, right? Like if you look at, for example, Stream, big deals, like you would, in the past, you would never say, like, SharePoint wouldn't be definitely in the top list of the places to put video in, right? Yeah. Because that was how things worked in the past. But now that, one, things have improved, and two, like we are more conscious about all the things like legalese, like governance, compliance. Like, hey, that makes perfect. Like, why not get that everything for free, as opposed to you have to build your app and then some to have all these measurements in place. So with that, I wonder, like already today, Graph exposes you easy access to SPO, to SharePoint lists and files. If you are an ISV and build an app, I think there is important decision for you to make. Like, sure, you build your own app, but will you leave data with your customers, or will you want to try to control them in your along with your own app? Given the fact that they will, because they might use your app in M365, so they will expect the same level of labeling, governance, compliance, and so forth and so on, which you would need to offer them. Or will you say, well, this is my app, I expose it here, and the data is stored along there so that you customer govern it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's certainly something which we've been trying to explain as a value add for a lot of the partners in the past as well. But I think more and more people are now realizing that is truly valuable. It's truly available with Microsoft Graph APIs. You can easily access the data. You can update the data. You can get it information, the contextual access on the documents what person has created and store those documents as well
and in a kind of an abstract
location.
And then along with info about the person and their manager and their team and all of that is already just like one call, right? Yes. Because it's just a giant graph.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think we'll get there one step at a time. And there's already partners who are doing this, and we can see an uptake on the other partners of doing this and more in the future as well. But I think there's a lot to be still done for educating on the opportunities and value add of rather than storing something in a SQL, Azure, or whatever, AWS, whatever the solution is, store it in M365. If they have the, if it's targeted for that platform, you have access. Yeah. You have all the power. So any last words for this week? Anything super interesting what's happening this week or during the weekend?
Where do I start? Oh yeah, there's like one minor thing on my list, like getting new job.
Oh, that one, yeah. You're waiting for the package to arrive, so that's you get your computer.
Yeah, and then I'll get the new employee orientation days. I don't worry about the badge because I cannot use it for anything, like unless I will use it to open my own door at home. But But other than that, yeah, it's going to be just a lot of logging in, meetings, intro, getting everything in place, HR, and then I hope that pretty soon I will be able to get going.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Vesa? Anything interesting? You said talked about the Teams Day online.
I will be talking in Teams Day online, doing my level up and become a Teams superhero session there. And then I will be talking on Saturday at 365 Saturday Warsaw as well. Mm-hmm. Same title, but I will aim to have some different content there, of course, because it's a different audience. And we are 1.5 weeks away from Teams Fest, so it's 9 days away. So we have plenty of work there as well.
Yep.
Just talking about the community side. So it's going to be a very busy week for us, but it's going to be fun. I guess that's the biggest highlight. Personal life, after all that, we'll get back to that later. Now there has to be, of course.
But absolutely,
yeah, it's going to be busy.
Yeah, and it's all about finding the right balance. And in your case, I think you love what you do, so it doesn't. It's finding the right balance, and then there are just a lot of work every now and then it settles for a while, and then there's a lot of work, and I think that's how it's always. So, anyway,
it's fun to see that when this epidemic hit in, I've been doing so much presentations. I think if I sum everything before this March up, and I've been speaking in so many events around the world, and this kind of gives the possibility that you can be talking in the same time, in the same day at Switzerland event, and then on the Chicago event. That's going to happen in November.
Yeah.
That is a whole interesting aspect too, because I recall during Build, like they said that in a past Build was, I don't know, like 5,000 attendees event, maybe 10. Last Build was 200,000 people. Like imagine the reach. It's the same people. You have the same amount of work to prep everything. There was Build. There was Build.
Oh, the spring Build. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And then you reach like such a bigger group, and you don't exclude people who couldn't be there in place, had political reasons for which they couldn't join, and so forth and so on. Right. So the whole thing, like with regarding to reach, I think I like this change. Like, even though I think that at some point we will get back to in-person events.
It is more democratized.
Yes. Well, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the world has changed. I think I think the world changed permanently.
So let's close up for today. So thank you, Vesa, for coming. Thank you for the great discussion. Well, I guess his screen is frozen and moving and frozen and moving. But thanks to everybody for watching, and thank you everybody for listening if you're using the podcast option, and we'll be back with the new PMP Weekly in a week. Now we can see him moving.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to say something?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for having me here. Thank it you. Was great. Fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Vesa.